Busy routines can make it hard to focus on your health goals, but MedExpress offers a simple way to explore weight management treatment online. Complete our short eligibility consultation with no need for face-to-face appointments or travel. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly, with UK-registered clinicians offering support along the way. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to get started today.
When you hear the word addiction, you've probably pictured hard drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, the obvious culprits. But today's guest has a more provocative idea. After 45 years as a health coach, he believes that nearly all of us are quietly dependent on something we eat or drink every single day. And most of us have no idea what's happened. Now, your morning coffee, the sugar you crave by mid-afternoon, the food you swear you just really love, what if some of that isn't preference at all, but a pull that you didn't even want to choose? That's what we're exploring today. My guest today brings a lifetime of global experience to the question of how we actually live well. Norbert is a German-born inventor, entrepreneur, author, and a life and health coach. With 45 years of experience, he lived and worked across Europe, Asia, and the United States, advising clients, including top executives, on everyday habits that quietly shape their health and their energy. Today, he's here to talk about the most universal and least examined of those habits, our relationship with food and caffeine. Norbert, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you on today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure and my privilege that you invited me. Thank you.
Now, let's start by stretching what most people think addiction even means. Now, you argue that addiction isn't only about hard substances, that a person can become dependent on a product, a person, or a process that nearly everyone has at least one food or drink that they're hooked on without even realizing it. Can you walk us through that? Like, how did you define addiction in this everyday sense?
Well, addiction is very simple. It's whenever something is strong. That's my definition. Okay. I'm not a doctor and I cannot give medical advice. That's my personal experience. And so addiction for me is always in the case if you are craving for something. Because people always craving for the wrong. You never crave for the right. I never seen somebody who was craving for a salad start in the morning at breakfast and says, if I don't get my salad now, my day is screwed. I got to have my salad now. Give me my salad, please. No. So craving is always for the wrong. When you crave, there is a strong compulsion, which is stronger than your free will to say no. And the moment right. You can say no, whatever it is, you are not addicted. Very simple.
What's the line in your view between simply enjoying something and actually being dependent on it?
Well, this is, of course, a very personal experience, and you got to be very critical with yourself. Don't forget that a lot of people, I worked a lot with alcoholics, okay? And the alcoholic will always say, like many other drug addicted people, well, I don't need it. I can stop tomorrow, okay? You know, they say I can't stop tomorrow, but it's, of course, not true. I cannot stop. Okay. But they need to say that to justify what they're doing and not to look too bad, right? So when I watched alcoholics and worked with them, an alcoholic drinks today, it's raining, cats and dogs. And he says, what shitty weather, let's have some fun, right? And tomorrow, it's a beautiful sunshine, warm day. He says, come on, let's sit on the patio and take a wine, right? He will always has a justification. Of course, the more social it is, you can go on a social to a party and drink 3, 4, 5 drinks. Nobody gives you a bad look, right? Nobody gives you a bad look. Then you have a justification because it's socially accepted. But in our society, we have socially accepted what I call soft drugs, which is alcohol, which is smoking to a certain degree. You know, in America, there was a big turnaround about smoking in the last 10, 20 years. But remember the times before, you watched a Dick Cavett show and people were sitting in the studio walls puffing away while they were talking in the studio, right? Interviews. That has completely changed. So it's a bit outcasted. But if you drink today coffees, nobody gives you a bad look, a bad eye. And to my definition, the most spread drugs in the world are not cocaine or crack. There are sugar and caffeine. People raise the eyebrows when I talk about caffeine. So you have to remember, Caffeine is not only in coffee. It's in black tea, in green tea, in white tea, in matcha tea, in most soda pops, and definitely all energy drinks through the wazoo. Caffeine is more and more in food and in beverages and in snacks. Snacks with chocolate and caffeine combination, even for children. Sometimes it's hidden and sometimes it's a bit disguised. At the moment, you have a bit of a movement in America. They call it the mushroom coffee. And they give you the impression there's no caffeine. So I turned some labels up and down, left and right, and I saw that basically all of them or most of them had caffeine, but hidden, not really clearly expressed. And in baby, children food and snacks, there is caffeine as much as in a coffee, in one bite of a snack. So sugar and caffeine are the most dangerous foods because they're so widely spread, and that they are socially accepted and legal makes them the more dangerous. And I regret that, and I tried to compensate to inform people about the danger, that caffeine is dangerous or even manipulative. For 20 years, the Olympic Committee has banned caffeine as a doping product from 1984 to 2004. A lot of people don't know that. When you were caught with caffeine and your blood exceeding a certain amount, you were banned from the sports. And then 20 years ago, they accidentally, overnight on a Monday morning, they decided, oh, it's not a doping product anymore. And to my frank opinion, that was the time these energy drinks came all out. And companies could not sell the energy drinks if the people would have been banned from sports. For me, that was a foul compromise, right?
Right.
In my book I wrote a book, Every Coffee Drinker is a Drug Addict. And in the book, I show you examples and proofs. There's, for example, a photo from NASA. NASA took spiders and shot photos of these beautiful spider webs, which is like a piece of art, incredible, beautiful. And then they gave the spiders some caffeine, and the spiders were not able to create a web anymore. And you see the photo before without caffeine influence and the photo of a spider after influence, right?
Right.
So imagine if it works for a spider like that, why wouldn't it work for the human being? And there were some studies done. The biggest study I came across, and this is all in my book, I give the references, I give QR codes. People can go with the QR reader and get to my original sources, okay? I'm not smart enough to invent this crap. So they did a study on the Australian Southern University in Australia with 17,000 participants, which is a huge study, 17,000. And they found out exceeding a certain amount of caffeine reduces your gray brain matter and increases your likelihood of dementia by 53%. These are shocking information, but
you may
not listen to that on CNN. And at the end of the day, caffeine is a huge business in sugar. It's a huge business. And this is where the money flows. You know? So this study Southern Australia University gives you that information. A similar study has been done by a university hospital in Spain, where they discovered that the women expecting mother drinking caffeine delivered their baby too early. Babies have less weight.
Wow.
And the cartilages are not fully developed. Now, if you follow connected dots, we have nowadays a big number of children who have major deficiencies. Autism is one of them. Now, imagine my scenario, my thinking. As a expecting mother, you share everything mentally and physically you go through with your child. It's no other way possible.
Right.
The child is full in effect of your mental stage, of your body health stage, and of potential drugs you're taking. You share with the baby. Is it good food or bad food? So imagine a mother drinks while she's pregnant coffee. Or let's say she was smart enough to say, okay, I should stop the coffee while I'm pregnant. She may still drink soda pops. She may still drink caffeine products like energy drinks, right? So she shares this with the baby. Now, if an adult's brain reduces the gray brain matter, you think a baby, unborn baby, would not have that effect of a degrees reduction in gray brain matter? It makes no sense. I know that Mr. Kennedy does a lot nowadays to improve foods and situations in the health world, and I appreciate that highly. I should try to reach out to him to give him that thought, finding the cause for autism, which may be not only one. The second reason for me for autism is a poor parent relationship while the mother is pregnant and at the early stages of the babyhood, that this affects the baby's mental stage. And the third reason for me is the influences of Wi-Fi and cell phones. Wi-Fi and cell phones have what we call electromagnetic radiation. Now, we as a human body have a natural electromagnetic radiation. As you measure the speed of the car in miles and your weight in pounds, you measure electromagnetic radiation in microwatt per square meter. I don't want to become too technical, but our body has a natural field of 80 microwatt per square meter. That's natural, what we need to live. Now, if you make a cell phone call, it goes up 1,000 to 3,000. German building biologists say clearly over 1,000 is highly cancerous, dangerous. Don't do it, right? Now, that's taking going too far now. That's a topic for another day if you're interested in. I have a special presentation to inform people, explain them about the danger of cell phones and Wi-Fi, and of course, especially for children. So, so caffeine is such a heavy impact that I never drank coffee in my life, but I always liked the smell of coffee. Grinded. And when I prepared in the times of COVID to write this book, I turned myself voluntarily into a coffee addict. I became a caffeine. I give my step now. I usually talk about things which I experience myself.
Right.
Or people around me, people like I consult, you know, and I can visualize and experience this effect of alcohol and this effect of this and this and the other. And so when I decided to write the book, I said, okay, you got to drink caffeine and turn yourself into a caffeine addict to see how does it really work and what does it take to get out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This book I described that I turned myself into a caffeine addict by one day deciding from today, I drink every day only one cup, and after 30 days, I stop and see what happens.
Right.
So first it was painful because it was too acidic. It was very hurting my stomach. I was not feeling good after a few days that's out. Now, what a lot of people do not know to talk about acidity, coffee is very acidic, okay? Like when we drink water, the water should have a pH level of 7 to 8 as a round number, right? 7 to 8.
Right.
Now, if I drink water with 7 and you drink water with 6, that's one number only. You say, well, that's just one number, right? Yes, but this one number is a sequence in physics. It's 10 times more acidic. So between 7 and 6 pH, it's 10 times more. If you drink instead of 6, you drink 5 water pH, it's 100 times more.
Right.
If you drink a drink which has, for example, 2 pH, value 2, that's 100,000 times acidic, which the possible to deal with.
Right.
When you say, who's so stupid to drink something which is 100,000 times acidic? Well, everybody who drinks Coca-Cola. Coke is about 100,000 times too acidic to what it should be, 7.5. So that makes that sense to you? Is that understandable?
No, it does. I do believe a lot of the problems that we have are due to the food that we consume. In the United States, the food industry is very harmful. A lot of foods aren't even accepted in Europe because they don't meet the fine guidelines that they have. And I do think Wi-Fi, I think, you know, there's a lot of radiation in a lot of the phones and different technologies that we use on a daily basis. And when they're kept too close to the face, I definitely think that it could cause problems.
Well, I go farther, but I don't want to go there now because it's too far. But only one sentence, what you said, too close to the face, right? A cell phone has a thermal effect, a chemical effect, and a biological effect. The only thing is when you bring it too close to your face, the thermal effect increases. Again, one day, if you're ever interested in, I explain this more in detail. But when people think they go on speakerphone and they hold it in distance on a speakerphone, that yes. Still harms your body. Because the chemical and biological effect happens as soon as the phone comes 7 feet towards you and your arm is not 7 feet long. And I show demonstrations in my seminars and on my website. On my website, I show demonstrations as soon as the phone comes 7 feet towards you, your body is harm affected. So it's an illusion out there being spread and people believe it. I hold it on speakerphone, so I'm not in danger. Once you see my videos and the demonstrations and the test measurements, you understand that this is not true. There are a lot of wrong information on my website. I have a website for electromagnetic radiation called emrprotection.co, emrprotection.co. And there you see videos called Mythbusters, some 20 videos where I explain those myths about cell phones, which are most of them completely stupid and not true. All right. So back again to coffee. So we have this study from the Australian University. You have the link, a QR link on my in my book. Like most other things I quote, I have QR links so people can read the original material I'm referencing to. Then you think, look at the situation. 99, to my definition, 99% of all products which are advertised, commercials, and go through your mouth, 99% are addictive.
Yes.
You have soda pops, alcohol, cigarettes, sugar products, fast food, certain medications, and medications can be addictive and work out as addictive. So all these products, they're heavily advertised, including coffee, of course. All these products are addictive, which means Coca-Cola is not stupid to spend $10 million for advertising. They know $10 million bring me back $100 million. Because once the person started to consume the product, most of them stick with the product because they started to be addicted. So should I say they're victims? Yeah, they're victims of the advertising because they know that how addiction works.
Yes.
The cigarette industry knew that. The cigarette industry knew that. And they kept hush, hush, hush. So addiction is very often provocated by the companies who produce it. Now, like cell phone, I'm using cell phone 24/7. I had one of the most expensive mobile phones some 30 years ago. It was a big block which cost me $10,000. Mobile phone which cost me $10,000. And I loved it. So I'm not against progress. I'm not against technology. As long as the technology is planned not to harm people. Very simple. Very simple. This is my standard. Not to harm people.
So you wrote a book with a title that's going to make a lot of our listeners put down their mugs. Every coffee drinker is a drug addict. Now, that's a bold claim. So make your case. Now, why do you single out caffeine? What's actually happening with the daily cup, the lift, the crash, the next cup that you describe as dependence?
Well, it's very, very simple. Not, of course, I want to sell my book, but in my book, there's so many information and linked with each other to get a conceptual understanding. And I was giving seminars all over Europe, and I'm always open to discuss and to exchange ideas. And I said, people, look, I'm not want to condemn you that you drink caffeine. I want you to be aware of it. My philosophy is being aware of a problem is half the solution. You got to be aware. I want people to be aware. That's all. Decisions, consequences.
Yeah.
To you. What I'm saying in the book and how I explained it makes sense or makes no sense. But I give you now the big, big, very interesting I find when I came across it. We have emergency programs in our body, God-given emergency programs, such as thirst. Thirst is an emergency program. The body says, give me water or I will die. Hunger, give me food or I will die. Number one, number two, you feel the pressure is an emergency program. The signal, you got to do something here. These are emergency programs from your body to throw up diarrhea when you took some food or whatever, which was bad for you, which was poisoned, whatever it was. Throw up and diarrhea is a natural reaction, an emergency program. The body says, we got to get rid of this. Now, these emergency programs are not under your control. You cannot use them or say them or stop them or say, oh, I ignore it. These are emergency programs God-given to avoid bigger damages.
Right.
Now, the biggest emergency program I came across, or the second biggest, is sleep. Once I was driving at nighttime, wanted to get home, and I fell asleep while driving. A shocking experience. For a few seconds, for 1 second, half a second, I don't know, I fell asleep. And I realized I could be dead by now. I could have killed people because I wanted to go home, right? And the body said, look, I don't care what you want. I need sleep. And the body turned the switch, and you fell asleep. And you could not say no. So these emergency program. Now, the most important now in this category now, talking about caffeine, the biggest emergency program is stress. Mm. And to my experience, most people have no understanding about stress or the wrong understanding, which sounds cocky, but okay, I prove it. And same for the doctors. Medical doctors are, to me, 80-90% in disgrace. because they can't think holistic and they have no education. I mean, a medical doctor, when they come to my seminars, they admit they were educated to prescribe pharmaceutical products. So what happens? Stress is an emergency program. An emergency program. And it was established in our bodies by God some whatever 100,000 years ago. When you 100,000 years ago came across a saber-toothed tiger or mammoth.
Right.
You were scared to death, right? Naturally. Naturally.
Yeah.
Scared to death. And God designed it in a way to say, in this situation, I have to give you all the power you can possibly have that you either fight the tiger or you run faster than he can. You have only these two options. To survive, you're scared to death. Now I give you a special treat. Because you're scared to death, we pump up the adrenaline glands, which sit on top of the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
The adrenaline glands now pump up adrenaline through the roof to a level which you voluntarily, willingly cannot create yourself. You cannot say, oh, I got to be strong now. Come on, let's pump up the adrenaline. No, you got to be scared to death.
Right.
And then comes a mechanism which dictates the amount of adrenaline. Now, with this adrenaline level, you had now a chance to fight and win or to run away. Let's say it was over and you ran away or you fought the tiger successfully. After a short amount of time, the adrenaline level came down to a normal, natural level. Because our human body needs adrenaline, a natural level of adrenaline for our life. Adrenaline level is not bad. It's a question of the intensity level and the duration. So after a short amount of time, the adrenaline level came down and you were okay. You were relaxed. No more fear of death. And you went on with life. And a day later, a month later, half a year later, a similar situation appeared. So once in a while, you came into the stress mode.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in our society, it works differently. We're in a situation where most of us have chronic stress. It's not a one-time small little thing. It goes away. You come in the morning to work and suddenly the boss shows up and yells at you. And he gives you stress. Of course, he yells at you and you're afraid for your job. Your adrenaline level goes up. Okay, cool. You know, by the nature of our society, you cannot fight the boss now like you would fight the tiger. Okay,
yeah.
You have to be nice. You have to be charming, right? So in our society, we are in a situation where we build stress and the stress comes hardly down and then a new stress impulse appears. I have the wrong dress. I have the wrong shoes. I'm late for the meeting. My car doesn't start. How do people look at me? Do I look strange? Am I accepted? All these social situations. And this goes on pretty permanent. It goes up, hardly down, comes up again, hardly down, comes up again, and so on. All right. What does it have to do with caffeine? If you understood what I just said so far, is this understandable and acceptable, hopefully? When you drink caffeine, caffeine mimics the effect of being afraid to death. The caffeine increases the adrenaline glands production and the adrenaline goes through the roof. Same like fighting the tiger.
Right.
Same thing. Intellectually, it's not the same. We know that. But the body doesn't react intellectually. It's an emergency program which kicks in whether you want it or not.
Right.
So the caffeine substitutes, replaces, duplicates the effect of being afraid to death. Now, of course, people say when I drink caffeine, I have more energy. Yes, it's obvious why. Your adrenaline level is high, too high. Now, a side effect of the adrenaline level and what God did at this time, when you were fighting the tiger, your adrenaline level was up, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, certain body functions stopped or were reduced by nature. Because emergency program means you're hungry now, you don't feel the hunger. The tiger's right here. You want to have sex with your wife? No, your ideas are not about having sex with your wife. Sex is not important now. Pure survival is important. So in the moment of the high adrenaline level, fear of death, the God-given emergency program says everything you don't need for the direct pure survival will cut short or we block. And when the situation is over, you can come back to being hungry. You can come back to be thirsty. You can go having sex, whatever, right? So when you consume caffeine, you endanger, reduce a lot of body functions.
And why do you think the fact that caffeine and sugar are legal and everywhere makes them sneakier than the substances that we're taught to fear?
Yes, that makes them so dangerous. There's nobody, unfortunately, we don't have photos here, but maybe I can blend it in. I'll give you a photo to blend in. Here's an image of a packaging of a children energy drink, a children energy drink. It shows you all the vitamins on the packaging, which are in the packaging. And you say, oh, that's wonderful. And increases your energy and blah, 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 and vitamin A, B, C, D, all the listing, right? You read the listing and in, how much is in each pouch of these 20 pouches in the box and for one pouch, water and have your child drink it, right? But it doesn't list on the front page the caffeine in it.
Right.
You're feeding the child caffeine. And to me, child, which was a baby, which was born in a situation where the mother drank caffeine and the baby was born with caffeine, let's say a caffeine reference, maybe even a short kind of addiction to caffeine already, is for me the gateway to drugs later on. Because your body, your mindset accepts caffeine as a stimulant.
Mm-hmm.
And here I show you an image how catastrophic caffeine is, in fact, a psycho-stimulating drug. We can look at here at this image here. Good. So these are all side effects of caffeine, again, with the adrenaline. Now, this is the reason why people say, well, it helps me to stay awake. Yeah, of course. It doesn't let your body sleep, come to rest. You don't have a normal circadian rhythm anymore.
Right.
Okay. And I have one show which is called The 19 Reasons for Sleep Problems, and caffeine is one of them. And caffeine typically stays in your body up to 20 hours. So when you drink a coffee in the morning, by the afternoon, evening, it's gone out of your system. But most people have in between again another coffee, and another this, another that, right? I was on a podcast, and the podcast host talked to me about one of his friends working as a secretary with his manager, and she had a timer on her desk. How often throughout the day she had to come in with Kafka. The guy, the boss didn't ask for it. She knew at what times she has to come in with a coffee because he wanted to avoid the crash.
Right.
Okay. And people ask me, so what should I do? I need that, you know. Well, I'll tell you something. If you need it, you are addicted. And
right.
Help find out you're addicted. Very easy. Stop today to consume any caffeine products, including black tea, white tea, green tea, energy drinks, and so on and so forth, not only coffee. Stop drinking it, consuming it today, and then take the stopwatch and find out how long will you survive without any withdrawal symptoms. You prove to yourself, not to me, you don't need to prove to me anything. I know how it works. You prove to yourself, am I addicted or not? And if after a few hours, after half a day, after one day, your mind is running around the coffee you didn't get and you become eager to have another coffee, right?
Mm-hmm.
It starts to show you the indicators you are addicted. And if you cannot survive 1, 2, 3 days without the coffee, you prove to yourself just then, I have a caffeine addiction. You don't need to prove it to me.
This is where it gets personal for everyone listening. You said that everyone craving, you know, in a sense, you know, has a craving and a signal worth paying attention to. Now, and you also draw a distinct between a food addiction and a food intolerance, which you say are often tangled together and usually go undetected. Help us understand that. Like, how might someone start to notice like these patterns in their own life gently and honestly without judging themselves for it?
Well, allow me to complete this thought before. So you can test yourself. You don't need a doctor. You don't need a laboratory. You only need your brain and observing yourself critically. Once you start the withdrawal, you'll find out, is it a withdrawal and I have withdrawal symptoms? Or am I fine? I can tell you from the feedbacks and observation, I would predict that 90 to 95% of the people watching now and have a caffeine addiction will not make it more than 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
4 days at maximum. They will not. They will fall back and start again. Interesting enough, I had this American lecturer who lectured my book because I write in German, then I translate it. And first, when she was offered the job, she kind of reacted like, that's bullshit. That's crap, you know. You know, every coffee drinker. She was a coffee drinker and a smoker, I believe. And then after translating or correcting half of my book in English, she said, okay, I decided to stop. She made a complete turnaround. Then 3 weeks later, she said, I couldn't do it. I had to go back. So find out for yourself, try it, prove it to yourself. And again, understanding a problem is half the solution. Understand yourself, because what you do not know is how many consequences it has to your health. You go to the doctor because you have a lung problem. You go to your doctor because you have this and that medical problem. The doctor has no idea about caffeine addiction. and it treats you for your lung problem. But the lung problem is not the problem, but caffeine is the problem, which creates the lung problem. And when I did my internship with this doctor for a year, I learned that everything can be an addiction, every food. We had one case, a man in the 50s had an addiction to milk. He drank every day 1, 2, 3 gallons of milk. The doctor warned him. He was becoming heavier and heavier. His liver was failing. The doctor warned him. The doctor says, you got to stop or you will die. And I cannot help you anymore if you don't stop. The guy says, I can't stop. The doctor said, okay, good. And 2, 3 months later, he was dead. This doctor I worked with, 90% of all his patients had food and drug addictions. Now, the intolerance is easier to detect and easier to handle. And it's a lot of intellectual. Let's say you eat Chinese food with certain ingredients. I'm not blaming on the Chinese. My former wife was Chinese. I lived in China half of my life. But there's then food, there are ingredients in which our body doesn't take, right? And you get an immediately body reaction. That's an intolerance. Intolerance typically reacts very fast with the blood pressure going down, with diarrhea, with throwing up, with feeling a bit nervous, unconscious. This is an intolerance. The body can just not digest that food. But more people have addiction. Now, you got to find out for yourself. Once you find out, in this doctor practices, after 1 year, I can attest to that, was 45 years ago, and things have become worse, but not better, 45 years in within food, right? Once you find out and you changed it, and I've seen that happening over and over and over again, illnesses where a doctor would have said, that can have do nothing with caffeine or with whatever.
Right.
They went away without extra treatments, without extra products, just by taking it off your program, off your diet. It's very easy. If you take every day cocaine, we all know your body will suffer. Your body will go down in its functions. Besides, your mind as well in very many cases. If you stop the cocaine over a time period, you will recover. The body needs time to recover. If you withdraw, the body will recover. Maybe not in 1 day, not in 1 week, but the body will recover because the body has a tendency to heal itself if you allow it and give it the right tools to heal itself. In my belief, no doctor can heal you. You got to heal yourself. The doctor can be a tool to give you advice, a coach, but the healing has to come within you. You have to want it. You have to start it and you have to see the target where you're heading for.
100%. And for the listeners out there, if you're sitting there quietly recognizing yourself in any of this, then you're in good company. And in this next part, this is the hopeful part. Follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi right now. Every week, we bring you the experts who help you understand your own habits, your health, and how to feel genuinely better. Now, you've said that being aware of a problem is half the solution. And I love that because it is hopeful, not shaming. So let's focus on there. So once someone actually realizes that they may be learning on a food or a drink, you know, and they may be leaning on it too much and feel that, you know, they have to have it more than they'd like to have it. You know, what's a gentle, realistic first step toward a healthier, freer relationship with it?
With food in general or with caffeine?
With both.
First of all, my basic philosophy is that only somebody learns who's interested in it. This is why most kids fail in school and have such a hard time, because which child is interested in trigonometry? Nobody. You will not learn if you're not interested. And that's when I start to work with patients, and that's what I start in my seminars. You're here today in a seminar because you want to improve, right, your life. Or you want me to confirm what you already know. Then go home. You have to confront what you do not know, and you have to be interested in it, because only the interest makes you hop over the barrier of shutting down and self-criticize. I don't need that. I know all that already. So you have to have the interest to jump over the hoop. This is the basic start. And in health, it is very, very difficult. Compared to 100 years ago, we have nowadays what I call a decathlon of health. It's not only one thing. You have to fight 10 different frontiers. You have to find the sugar. You have to find the plastics in the food nowadays, which is crazy. You have to fight the heavy metals. You have to fight the chemicals. You have to fight the sleep deprivation. You have to fight your mental state, because to my belief, you will be never healthy if your mental stage is not solid. You've got to have a mental stability to be healthy. I have a lot of basics, which I don't move from. Your teeth have to be in good condition. Without healthy teeth, you will never be healthy. I have a lot of information there. if I would be a doctor, have a doctor practice today, I wouldn't accept a client without seeing his dental documents. And I have examples and I have stories there to tell. The other basic is you cannot be healthy, so basic teeth. You cannot be healthy without mental stability. You cannot be healthy without healthy food. Impossible. Impossible to be healthy without healthy food and healthy water. When you ask people how healthy is your life, I eat whole food, you know, only eat organic food. Beautiful. Good. First of all, not every organic food is organic and you have to learn what's wrong and what's right there. But okay. But if the water you're drinking is miserable, it makes no sense to eat healthy food because half of it goes through the drainage. Healthy water. The next point is when I work with patients, I have to control their Wi-Fi and cell phone situation, which means not that they have to stop it, but I give them the tools that they can use their cell phone and their Wi-Fi without being harmed. Due to my inventions I made in Germany, scientifically tested on quantum physics, I can turn anybody's cell phone in 1 minute to a healthy unit. I can protect every human body in 1 minute from the dangerous Wi-Fi signals. The last thing I did last month, which may surely surprise you, I wanted to prove for the longest time that every car and every electric car harms your body totally. I repeat, every car, regular combustion chamber car, and every electric car harms your body totally. They both produce magnetic field and electromagnetic field to a level your body cannot handle. It kills your body. For me, the number one reason why every third person is dying nowadays of cancer. Give me a reason publicly published in CNN why every third person dies of cancer. Give me a reason. There is none. And to my definition, there will be never a medicine found to solve cancer. Never, ever. After 50, 100 years of researchers, after 10 trillion money in funds of researchers and treatments, they have nothing to show for. The cancer increases, keeps increasing. And my standard sentence, I have a gravestone, which I want to show you here, a gravestone. It says, as you see, rest in peace. Mankind is extinct because they believed that the laws of nature does not apply to them. We live not with nature, but against nature. You cannot eat plastic. Your body cannot live, digest on plastic and on heavy metals and on sugar. And I'm not sure the listeners know that particularly cancer thrives on acidity, which coffee is, and on sugar. You feed your cancer. You feed your cancer like a baby with caffeine and with sugar. This is a medical fact. I'm not making this up. So back again, to be aware is half the solution. If you want to learn, the material is there. I have on my website dozens of podcasts and of videos and of webinars. And sometimes I get hired. Some people get together and arrange a seminar somewhere in the world. They fly me out and I give a seminar which lasts a day or two, whatever they want. And I teach them all this. And not I teach them, I prove it to them. Because nobody will learn if the person is not convinced that's truth, okay? And in my philosophy is, truth is always there before the lie. Truth has to be first. Without truth would be not a lie in existing. And a lie can only exist if there's truth. But now, hard to differentiate.
Now, 45 years of helping people, you see habits that they couldn't see in themselves. So what do you want our listeners to understand about the small daily things that they consume and about how much freedom and energy might be waiting on the other side of a little awareness?
You cannot have energy through caffeine. That's false. That's like putting right away cocaine in your veins. It gives you energy, but it's false energy. Healthy energy is a healthy mindset, is a good night's sleep, is healthy water, fresh air, daily sunshine. We live too much in the closet. We live too much in the fridge. We don't have enough daily sunshine to live with a circadian rhythm. These are all basics in nature. Mm-hmm. If you think you can ignore them, you will pay your price. You cannot ignore nature. You cannot ignore the circadian rhythm. I pity all people who work night shifts. It's needed in our society, but comes with a price. So every time you don't work with nature to the maximum, every time you pay a price, and the price is health. And only the energy you get from these things I just listed to you is healthy energy. And then you don't need a stimulant in the morning when you get up. People wake up. How many people wake up every morning and they need a coffee, they need a cigarette before they say even sane words? Otherwise, I cannot function, right? But if they have a child, 15 years, who takes crack, They look down on the child and say, "Bah, you're a drug addict," right? So what is different to them?
Right.
Drinking 5 beers a day or 3 whiskeys or 10 coffees? It's crazy. So you have to find back to the fact that you're a spiritual being and that you have a calling, whether you have listened to your calling yet or not. We all have a calling. My first calling, I had 2 major callings. My first calling, we're talking here today, after I almost died, the doctor saved me. I went as an adult, free pay, for 1 year to learn. And after 1 year, I completely understood it, which ended up in this book, which, by the way, I'm rewriting now again. And I have some other books coming out, working on them as soon as I can, where I put all the knowledge which I accumulated, which I believe is true knowledge, is facts, not BS, and not trying to be a star. I'm just trying to communicate what I've found. And every reader has to make a decision. What I'm saying makes sense or no sense. But in our society, and with all this COVID crap which was going on, lots of people lost common sense. They just lost common sense. If somebody comes to walk you in the street and comes up with an injection and say, "Look, can I put this in your veins?" You say, "Oh, no, what do you want to put in my veins?" Right? You would call the police, right? But we're so naive to think what's advertised, time commercialized, is all good and right for us and all healthy. Go back to the basics. You can only go back to the basics and find fun in clean fun, in sports, in your job you're doing, in the satisfaction of your work, in the satisfaction of raising kids and your family, in the satisfaction of pure, honest love. These are all things which give us energy. They are a feeder of energy.
Yes, they are. Now, can you tell us some of the products and services that you offer?
Well, I have a website which is improveyourlife.us. It's my life motto, improve your life. I'm United States.us. It's .us because I couldn't register .com, so .us. On this website, you find loads of seminars, loads of webinars, loads of podcasts. And I bring people, I quote, great people from whom I learned. I never went to university or college. I only met people who were willing to share their knowledge with me. And I was always looking for answers. I was always interested in. I mean, I don't have any tattoos. How do I come across the topic of tattoos, right? Because I was interested, what's going on in society? Every third person has a tattoo. Are you guys crazy? Something got to be wrong here. And then I looked into it. And once we talk about it, you're going to be blown away what happens when you have a tattoo or piercings, right? So I was interested in. You got to be interested in. So I can offer this. I do give seminars. But it's not cheap because it costs me, every seminar costs me 3 days of travels and airplanes and hotels and whatever, whatever. But there are some people who put their money together and create a hotel conference room where they have 50, 100, 200, 300 people, whatever. And everybody pays their shares. And I come for a day. And not only I explain those things, I practice them on the people. They have a testing on the people where they can discover the effect. I do this with kinesiology or muscle testing. And here's one tip. It's cheaper working with me than working with me. We have all over America people, doctors who apply kinesiology, which is transverse muscle testing, which was discovered by Dr. Goodhart here in America in the 1960s. If you have a good kinesiology, there are ones which are not so good as well, like in every trade. If you have a good kinesiologist and you bring with him 10, 20 foods you typically eat, he can test each food in 1 minute, whether it's good for you or not. Right. And I call it, every product in the world is either pro-survival for you or counter-survival.
Mm-hmm.
You can take 50 fruits, 20 will be pro-survival for you, not for you, and 30 will be counter-survival, means don't consume them. You will suffer. And a good kinesiologist does that. And on my website, I show some examples and some testings. And I have one webinar on my website where I explain what kinesiology is and how it works. And you can find somebody in your area who applies kinesiology, and he can check you immediately what's right and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a medical doctor. A relative of mine suffered of cancer. The relative would not accept my technology to improve his well-being, not his health. I cannot make that claim. And he had cancer. And he had 7 products at a bedside. And I muscle tested the 7 products in 1-2 minutes. And I swear to God that from the 7 products the doctors prescribed, 5 were harmful. Kinesiology can test this 100%. What is harmful for you or not? So find a kinesiologist in your neighborhood, a good one, and let him test products you are in doubt. And if you are a bit better off, and you want to put a seminar together, I have a suitcase that will travel the world. And I give them seminars. But the title of my seminar is Who Believes? Only Understanding and Proves. Because only if you understand and you prove to yourself, you will do it and you will be successful in applying it. This is why many people give up. The doctor gives the medication every day, 3 pills, right? How does a doctor know he needs 3 pills every day? I tell you, he doesn't know. He just speculates and it was been told by the pharmaceutical industry. So he takes every day 3 pills. Nothing changes. What does he do after 2-3 weeks? He gives up taking the pills because he has lost belief that it works. So in my seminars, it's not about taking products, drugs. It's about changing your lifestyle in a way that you can easily apply it. And you see the immediate feedback, the result. Because only if you see it, if you feel it, if you can say, Jesus, it changed, then you will apply it. And I have a friend for life.
Now, where can people find your book?
Only on our website. We're not on Amazon yet.
Okay.
Only our website, Improve Your Life.
Wonderful. Well, you know, this has been amazing. You know.
By the way, important. Yes. I have in my book a flyer from an alternative to coffee. It was the best alternative I ever found to get rid of the withdrawal situation.
Yeah.
I found one product in Germany and one product in the United States. They both ship internationally. So I always import the one from Germany and now the American. So these two products are the closest I've found to the smell, taste, texture, color of coffee. So to substitute this to coffee is the best bridge, healthy without any caffeine, without any caffeine.
That's wonderful. Oh my goodness. That's very wonderful. Now, for the listeners out there, it turns out that some of the most powerful changes in our health don't come from anything dramatic. They come from simply waking up to the small automatic habits we never thought to question. Now, Norbert has spent a lifetime helping people do exactly that. And today he gave us a fresh, honest look at foods and drinks that we reach out for without even thinking. You know, Norbert, I want to thank you so much for being here, telling our listeners, you know, where they can, you know, find your information and they can read your book and then the seminars that you offer. You know, tell everybody once again your website name so they can go to you.
Sure. My website name for to protect you from harmful cell phones and Wi-Fi is called emrprotection.co. emrprotection.co. And the generic landing page website with all the other health-related topics and fitness wellness is called Improve Your Life.
I love it. And if this episode makes you look at life and look at your morning with a cup of coffee a little differently, then share it with somebody who could use a little bit of more awareness and a little bit more energy. You know, I really thank you so much for being on the show. You're amazing. I love your organic way of looking at health. And I like that you know, really focus on doing things naturally, that your body has more power than we believe. And I, you know, caffeine is a big problem that many people are addicted to caffeine. They're addicted to energy drinks. Energy drinks cause heart attacks for many. You know, it has caused heart attacks for many. It's something that needs to be fixed in the United States, you know, and addiction. Sometimes we don't really realize we're addicted to something when we're actually addicted to it. And we rely on certain things. And I think you brought a lot of good aspects to the conversation, you know, for people to think about and to really inquire about how their life really is and the changes maybe they need to make in their lives to make it better. So I thank you so much for being here. I thank you for all your knowledge and your wisdom. And I hope to see you soon with more, you know, of the topics that you talk about. Because you talk about more than just this. There's many things that you tap into that are very worthy of listening to. And you have a lot of great advice to share.
You're too kind. You send me too many flowers here at once. You're too kind. Thanks a lot for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you for being here. I appreciate you.